Okay, we are getting there. I think we are almost there. Okay, I think we are live. All right, make sure. Yes, okay. Hello and good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I am here with the lovely and talented Dana Morningstar for our usual Tuesday afternoon stream. Today we are here on this channel, and as you may know, if you come here often, we do this on alternating channels every other week. So next week we'll be over on Dana's channel, which is Thrive After Abuse, right here on YouTube. And you can also find Dana at Thrive After Abuse on all over on the internet, Facebook, thriveafterabuse.com, et cetera. Dana, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Always happy to have you. So we are going to, as you may have noticed by the title, today we're going to talk about the riots and what's going on in our society. It's a horrible, scary situation. Dana, what are your thoughts?
Boy, what are my thoughts? I have a lot of thoughts about this. It's understandable, I guess. I can understand the anger and the frustration that leads to rioting. I have concerns about it. You know, it's just right. I mean, God, man, it seems like every month in this year, 2020 has just is something new, you know, and you know, communities are already struggling because of COVID and everything else. And then with this on top of it, you know, there's so much damage done to communities and small businesses, and that's really concerning. I think there's a lot of people that are you know, that are getting involved in the riots that just are getting caught up in the chaos. And it's not even about a statement of protest. It's just, oh, hey, free stuff, me too, you know?
Right. And I think that's the problem. I think the those people who are not protesting for the sake of people who are going and, like you said, taking things out of stores, destroying things for the purpose of personal gain or just to enjoy the destruction, they're kind of clouding the message. And that, in my opinion, they're making things, yeah. So I'm trying to see. Did you type the thing in there yet, Dana?
I am trying to see the
Okay.
video on your channel and I don't see it.
Okay, it's coming.
Okay.
All right. Anywho, so yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And I think, I mean, on the idea of it being a mess, we have quite a few people in chat here. Hold on, Alexa's talking to me.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about
That's
that.
okay.
Okay. Yeah. Mo Cowboy says, thanks for talking about the riots. Now the public may begin to understand how livestock owners feel when AR activists invade property, destroying and looting. Oh, animal rights. Oh, sure. I can imagine. Yeah. And this is, here's the thing. As Jazzy Bella says, I never thought I'd see anything like this in my lifetime. People's livelihoods are gone. That's the bad part. But with that being said, and I think you may have said this, and I apologize if you did, and I know you talked about it before we got live. But the idea of, now what was it? You said something. No, Just Be Real says, and I want to talk about that. Just Be Real says, just understand that all the looting is in Black people. And I agree with that. That is actually part of what I'm here to talk about, I think, is there are those piles of bricks conveniently laid everywhere. Have you heard about this? Near no particular no construction sites, just piles of bricks laid around.
No, what's
And
that about?
yeah, well, what I'm hearing from some people is that it's the KKK, and that they are doing this to essentially, you know, set us all back 100 years or whatever. I don't know. The delicate damsel says it's, oh, and the guns, Just Be Real said. Yeah, that's the other thing. Okay. So it would make sense, and I think it does make sense, that the KKK would want to prevent people from having the same rights as themselves. And that might include me as somebody who's half Jewish. But But different people are saying different things. Some people are saying Antifa. I don't really know what I think about that because I don't think that's their goal. I think, I mean, I do understand that they've taken down like Confederate monuments and things like that. But that kind of makes more sense to me than just building, like burning down a random person's business, a small business owner, you know. But what I've seen in the news and I've heard around the internet is that there are like planted people, and maybe you guys can talk to us about that. You guys in the chat, tell us what you've heard, what you've seen about that. But I've heard the KKK is involved, and I've heard a lot of other conspiracy theories. I don't know what's true and what's not true. Nikki says it's Antifa. Nancy says Antifa. Shastina says, I just learned the other day that more people have died at the hands of police than people killed by other people this year, terribly sad. And I don't know if that is entirely, I don't know the statistics, and I'm going to have to assume Shastina is right on that. But I do know that there's just a lot of, we're all stressed out and the whole world is confused and stressed out, but it makes sense to me that a group like the KKK might go in and try to cause some trouble in this situation, because of course they don't want equal rights. You know, they don't want everybody to be the same. They think they're better than other people, including me. So, but what I've never seen is an intelligent person in that group, but I'll shut up about that now.
Well, and I think it's important to realize too, that most of these groups, it's not only feelings of superiority, it's they feel like they're the victims.
Yes.
So in their mind, you know, they're saying, oh, it's white power. You know, and I've seen kind of some blurring of this with a lot of white people that I think don't identify as being racist. But it's this kind of frenzy is stirring up a lot of people that are kind of on the fringe, where they're like, you know what? I am tired of being told that there's something wrong with me because I'm white.
And I get that.
And I get that too. And there is nothing wrong with you because you're white, right? It's the mentality of, we saw this with the Black Lives Matter. It was, you had people that were saying Black Lives Matter, and then you had a lot, primarily white people saying, well, all lives matter. And it's like, yes, that's what we're saying. When we say Black Lives Matter, we're saying they also matter.
Right. And what it comes down to, in my opinion, you know, the white privilege thing, I lost like about 500 subscribers yesterday because I talked about this, but I'm going to say it again. What it comes down to is that the fact is not, but saying Black Lives Matter, saying white privilege does not mean that white people do not have problems or that they do not matter. What it's saying is, hey, we aren't necessarily having problems because we are white, or because our skin is white. You know, the way that we look doesn't add to our problems per se. Now we might look like some of us, you know, like I'm a little thick. So maybe that adds to my problems, but it's not the color of my skin. You know what I'm talking about? And the fact is, and what I said in my video, and I'm just going to really quickly summarize it, is that number one, my son, he's 6'3" and he's got broad shoulders and he's a big, tall, strong boy. And last year, he and one of his friends were out walking around in the town and the police stopped them. And they said, hey, you guys match the description of two boys we heard were breaking into cars around here. So come over here and we're going to talk to you guys. So they came over and they talked to them and they detained them for about 20 minutes. And then they realized, okay, these aren't the boys. Okay. So then what did they do? They drove the boys home to my house. They came up to my porch and they knocked on my door and they said, this is what happened. You know, we're sorry, but this is what happened. And here's the kids. We're sorry we detained them. Well, I was pissed. I was mad because my kid's an honor roll student. And so is his friend. They're both in all the honors classes. They're really good kids. They're not those kids, you know, the kids that would break into cars. And I thought, and at the time I was furious. And then I got over it and I moved on and I forgot about it until now. And then when I watched that video with George Floyd and his murder and what happened there, I heard him call out for his mother. And when that happened, I mean, I was already in horror. I was horrified watching. But when I heard him call out for his mother, like my heartstrings were tugged. And I realized that you know, every single person. I mean, this is so stupid. I already knew about white privilege, I thought, but I didn't understand it on this deep level until I realized, you know what, that night that those police officers brought my son and his friend home, like, a Black mother might not have that privilege. She doesn't know that her son's going to come home safely, because, you know, and like, where I could teach my children, hey, be respectful to the police and do it, you know, blah, 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 whatever. A Black mother has to say, be respectful to the police and be careful because they might hurt you or kill you. You know what I'm saying? That is white privilege. It's not that I don't have problems or my kids don't have problems. It's that my kids aren't going to be killed because necessarily be killed because of the color of their skin or because of the way they look. People aren't going to be as intimidated for some reason, you know, and it's so wrong. And that is what I was trying to explain. And a lot of people got really angry, and I'm sure people are mad at me right now for talking about it. But
well, but, you know, I think it's one of those things, like, people don't realize if you know, it's hard for any one of us to put ourselves in the minds of somebody different. Just like it's hard for, you know, men to understand, like, there's certain ways in society men have male privilege. And then there's also certain ways in society that women have female privilege.
Of course. Right. Yeah.
And, whereas, like, a guy, isn't as on guard about, you know, being raped or being assaulted or what have you. And, you know, it's just not a thing that's on the front of their mind as much as it is with women. And it's difficult for men, you know, there has to be that kind of that mindset shift of understanding for all of us. Like, our worldview is just our worldview, but if we're ever going to really impact change, then we need to expand that worldview. And I think for white people, it's difficult to understand the Black experience, because we're white, right?
Right.
But then there's moments in time where you see this. There was a post, and I don't remember where it was on social media. I want to say maybe it was about a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. And a guy had, oh, it was over Christmas. That's when it was. And a guy had posted something about kind of the different, some subtle daily differences, right? And this was a well-to-do Black family, and he said they had the wrong package delivered to their house. So FedEx had delivered the wrong package. The son was going to go run it down the street to who it belonged to.
Right.
And the dad said, you know what, son? Basically, there's a lot of white families around here. We're pretty much the only Black family within a few blocks. I don't want you doing that. We'll call FedEx, have them pick up the package and run it down there, because you don't know. It's, people can get, if it's not their, if it's something out of the ordinary, they can get suspicious, and then they can go on the attack.
And that is an example of white privilege right there.
Right.
Because I would send my kid down the street without even thinking about it. White privilege.
Right.
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're right.
And
tell me.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and part of it too is this isn't a conscious thing for a lot of us. It's, you know, the human brain, it links up kind of what we tend to see and do as this is normal. And then anything outside of that is unsettling.
Yes.
Like, for example, I had a good friend of mine when I lived in New Mexico, and she grew up in Atlanta. She grew up around people of color. And when she got into the military, and her husband was Black, her kids were mixed. And when she was in the military here, she'd never been around so many white people before in her life. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, she's like, it just makes me nervous. Like, she's like, I don't know how to act. It's unsettling. And so it's not necessarily racism. It's just, it's different, and it can be off-putting when any one of us is, you're used to one environment and then you're plucked from it.
Right.
And in a different environment. And so just kind of being aware of that. But the stuff that happened with George, you know, recently with his death, I mean, I think that's where we're just all tired of it. We're like, this is disgusting. And
it is.
We have it on film. This is outrageous. I believe police officers have to go through basic CPR first aid training. And if that's the case, then he would know better. You don't ever lean on somebody's neck.
I mean, the truth is, and I'm just going to say it, and this is, but the truth is, I mean, that Mr. Floyd, George Floyd, he appeared to have muscled arms, and he was a big, tall, strong man, which is why my son came into my head at that time. He doesn't have muscled arms, but he's a big, tall, strong man and a young man. But he appeared to have, you know, and he was appeared to be physically fit and much larger than the police officer who murdered him, who had appeared to have skinny, tiny arms and legs. And I felt in that moment that he was, as I watched his face, he was enjoying what he was doing. And I felt that it had to do with partially with that, the fact that this man was so much bigger and stronger than he was. And it really bothered me in that way too. And I felt like little man syndrome was kind of an issue, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought in that moment as well. Like, how can you possibly, it just makes no sense to me. I was so, that video woke me up in ways that I mm-hmm. for more than 20 years, I lived in a primarily Black community. First of all, I should say that. And my children were raised there pretty much, one of them his whole life and the other two almost their whole lives. And they, so they didn't grow up with the same typical white kid experience of being in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't experience, they did get teased and taunted because of, and worse because of, you know, looking white. And once they found out that we were Jewish, not by religion, but by blood, my son got some really horrible things said to him by some of his friends and some of people who weren't his friends, about, you know, anti-Semitic remarks. And I was very angry and very upset, and I didn't know what to do. And my son begged me not to tell any, you know, the administration at the school, because he thought that it would be just shoved under the rug and all this. And I don't think, in hindsight, I believe they would have done something, but I also understood his point, because what if, you know, I'm going to go in there and be the only, anyway. So what it came down to, though, is that aside from the fact that that did happen to my kids and that they dealt with some stuff, this isn't about that. And this is what I'm trying to, what I was trying to explain in that video, is that this is a systematic issue. This is not about individuals so much, in my opinion. You tell me what you think, but it's not so much about the individual people. And it's not about being picked on because you're different. And it's not about, you know, because the truth is, if like my kid was the only boy in a class, or my daughter was the only girl in a class, well, then they would probably have some issues too, right? So if you're the only anything, whatever. But what it comes down to is that, this is, even while we were living in that community, we were not afraid that the police were going to kill our child because he was white, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what, and I'm not saying just the police. I mean, there are other issues around, of course, but right now what we're looking at is the police. And again, I want to say something else. I've seen a lot of people saying all cops are bad, and I disagree with that. Because I know several, my grandfather was a police officer and he was not bad, you know, and I know people in the world who are nice, decent people who aren't bad, who aren't racist, who would never hurt anybody on purpose. You know what I mean? So I can't say that. But I do think that the system is broken. And I think that it's almost impossible to, I think it's almost impossible to know if someone is trying to hide the fact that they're a racist. I don't know how the institution can find out, because my initial thought was, well, just don't hire racist police officers, period. But that's almost impossible, because if somebody wants to be an officer bad enough, and, you know, they're going to lie, right? They're just going to pretend.
I mean, if they have any type of, you know, emotional intelligence and realize, you know, in self-restraint to be able to realize this is not appropriate and I need to cover it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. Yeah. I think that's the issue is, well, I think there's a couple different issues. You know, there needs to be a stronger stance on getting rid of rotten, you know, corrupt or racist police officers especially. There's just,
right.
it's really scary because they're in a position of power. And, you know, thankfully we live in a time where there's dash cams and, you know, officer cams. So that
cell
can
phones.
Be, yeah. That can be more patrolled, but
it's just,
it's terrifying. And then I think the other issue too, is that police forces shouldn't be the one to monitor and, decide. You know, there's kind of like that whole blue line thing, like they're protecting their own. There really needs to be some sort of outside party that monitors police forces.
Right. There is some kind of inside authority, right? There's like some, I can't remember what it's called, but there's some kind of, but again, obviously it's not working. Whatever it is, it's not working. And I want to just really quickly, Dana, I want to run to the chat because I'm seeing a lot of sure. talk. Latanya says, thank you both for standing with us and being part of the solution. Those that are silent are part of the problem, which is exactly part of the reason that I did the video I did the other day and the video and why we're talking about this now, because I heard people saying, you know, I see, so one of my friends said, and I had already been talking about it on Facebook in on my personal timeline. But one of my friends posted, I see white influencers out there who are saying nothing and staying silent. And I see you, we need you, you know, basically saying you need to stand up and say something. Well, like I said, I'd been posting about it, but I thought that's why I used my platform to talk about it. And that's why I think we're here too. But I agree with, anyway, okay. But I saw something else that was really, hold on, let me find it. Latanya, I see your comments. I don't know why you're not seeing them, but I see them. Mo Cowboys with us, UNA's with us. Thank you, UNA. I appreciate you, Peggy.
There was a comment earlier and I lost it, but it was along the lines, and it was fantastic to just be clear, protesters are protesting and looters are looting.
That was one. Yes. I want to thank you. Yes. Thank you.
I thought, that's it. That's what it is at the end of the day. And they're not the same.
No. And I would
of people.
Yeah. I'm standing with the protesters. I am. And I think that until we, as a country, as a community, as a society, as a people, can recognize that this is really a problem, it continues. Until a Black mother can feel as safe as I can feel sending our children out into the world. And I'm not totally, look, I'm not saying that I'm not scared of other people, right? Mm-hmm. I'm of course I worry that some bad person might come up and just like everyone else, but I don't worry the police are going to hurt my child. You know what I'm saying? As long as he is respectful and does. And I heard somebody commented on my video from yesterday and they said, listen, you know, George Floyd did resist arrest. I'm going to tell you something. I found and watched the video of the time before the actual arrest when they went and pulled him out of the car and did all the things. That man did not resist at all. Not at all. He wasn't even saying anything. He was just crying, you know, probably because he was like, man, I'm going to get arrested. And it doesn't matter what he did before that. If he was doing exactly that, he sat down, they pulled him out of the car. He didn't resist. They put handcuffs on him. Didn't resist. They put him down on the ground. Didn't resist. He sat on the wall, you know, could not stand up by himself with his hands behind his back, by the way. I'm sure he could have figured it out eventually, but mm-hmm. needed help getting up. No way could he even, maybe he could have gotten up to his knees, maybe, if he was down on the ground the way he was. But from what I heard and what I saw, it looked like there were actually two other officers on top of him. There was another angle that came through of somebody's video. So he had the one on his neck, one on his, like in his torso area, and then another one on his freaking legs. Like, and he was not resisting. Maybe he resisted actually being put in the car. I didn't see that part, but it doesn't matter because what they did to him. And did you see the video, Dana, the whole video?
I didn't watch the whole video. I couldn't, I watched enough of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the people that were talking, did you hear the people talking to the police at the time? Mm-hmm. They were saying they were not acting like jerks. They were not acting like, they were being like, hey, you're killing him. He can't breathe. You're killing him.
Right.
And I don't understand that face that officer was making.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say officer. That he was making, like, it was, I don't understand how anybody can sit there and kill a person and not, you know, not care and actually seem happy about it. I mean, the whole thing, it's horrible. It's disgusting.
It is. And, you know, I think that the other officers that stood around and did nothing, that they also need, there needs to be major legal consequences for them as well.
Yes.
So.
Yes. They're all guilty because what about?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're seeing something egregious like that go on and you stand there and do nothing, and especially when you have the training, right. You know, it's not like they were just civilians and they're like, well, I don't want to get involved in this. You guys are part of it. And that's how it goes in any other profession. You know, it's the police force isn't, it's about serving and protecting. It's not about intimidating and terrorizing.
No. And when they try, and see, the thing is that the people that were talking to the police officers actually tried to kind of rush him and pull him off of that man's neck. And the dude pulled out mace and, you know, was like threatening them. You know what I'm saying? Like he wanted to kill that man. He wanted to. They could have saved that officer from, well, they, at this point, it doesn't even matter. But I don't understand. You know, they could have saved that man's life, but he literally prevented them from doing it. I mean, and I just, and then the woman that was the EMT, and I think, I don't know, but I think she was actually Caucasian. Anyway, she was screaming, like, let me have a pulse, let me have a pulse. Just take his pulse. Because she knew. She watched it. It makes me very angry. Yeah, and Nicole Angelina says, did you guys read the comments under the video that I did the other day? And she said, people, and she was, by the way, Nicole, thank you for your support because I saw you in there and I see you. Thank you. And she said, people were saying, people who were abused by narcissists are saying that white privilege doesn't exist. Well, let me just clarify my opinion on that and you tell me if I'm wrong. My opinion is those narcissists didn't do that to you because you're white. And again, you can still go out into the world. And I'm not saying that police are nice to white people all the time. That's not what I'm saying. You know, another woman posted something like, well, I don't see what you're talking about with white privilege because I got pulled over and the cop was totally rude to me and my daughter. Yeah, but you and your daughter drove away, right? I mean, or you didn't die. You're still alive. I mean, I'm not saying that police are nice to people all the time. They're not always nice to people. Sometimes they're nice to people, but it's irrelevant. They're not going to, you know, you don't fear for your life because your skin color, and that's the issue.
I think that's part of the confusion when people talk about white privilege is you get a lot of white people that think that that's what that means. They think, oh, well, then you're saying that I am living a privileged or some sort of charmed life where nothing bad happens. And it's like, no, that's not what we're saying.
Right.
It's that there's, and maybe it almost needs to be like a different word maybe of, and I can't think of a better one right now, but you know, wherever a person is, if you're in the default majority and other groups have it, you know, are being targeted wherever you might be, there's that kind of default group is the default. They have the power. They don't have the issues that the minority groups there have.
Yeah. That's right.
And it's going to be different in every single society. And Nicole is saying you don't have to be racist to benefit from white privilege. And absolutely. It's just, it's just sort of like, with in certain instances with male privilege.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, there's certain things that men don't worry about that women do, or that kind of the default, men tend to get a lot more, respect or, there's this one quote, something about women have to try twice as hard to be considered half as good.
Yes.
And that's often the case, but there's a lot of people out there, a lot of men especially, who don't understand that. And then they get upset and they think, oh, well, no, women have all kinds of privilege and this, that, and the other. And we might in certain instances, but when it comes to, certain things, we don't.
Right.
So it's just, and I think at the end of the day, the reality is with police that their job is to protect and to serve. And
exactly, not to kill people,
to
prevent that actually,
right? Yeah. And if such an egregious ridiculous slam dunk situation happens, such as that, where you have somebody who I would put money on it that they're trained in CPR first aid, who knows better, that right. you don't place pressure on somebody's neck and they do this for a significant amount of time, they know exactly what they're doing. Yep. So that they need to be held accountable, and that there does that there shouldn't be a different set of laws that pertain to police.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think about, like, my sister, her children are biracial. She just had her second child, a little boy, and he's a beautiful little boy. And I'm scared to death for him, you know. And I think about my cousins, and I have cousins who are biracial. I should have said mm-hmm. that. I don't understand. I don't know. The whole thing, it's you think about, Craig says he has relatives who are KKK members and they hate him because he's not a racist.
Yeah.
But I think when you think about these individuals that you know, and then you think about the people you don't know, and you think about, I don't know, the whole thing is just so, it's not, I mean, I think racism in general is disgusting. But I know different experiences, different people, different lives, whatever. But there's got to be something that can be, I don't even know what the answer is, Dana, but there has to be a way that they have to be able to stop this and figure out how we can all coexist peacefully. You know, we're all, even though I think, I mean, I don't even know. I know that some Black people are, they don't celebrate the 4th of July because it's not their Independence Day, which makes sense to me given mm-hmm. what, you know, so they just celebrate Juneteenth instead. But I want to say we're all Americans here. But I don't want to say that in a way to minimize what's happening, you know, but what I'm mm-hmm. saying is we should all be equally safe. And I understand again that there are criminals and there are horrible people in the world, but they're certainly not all Black. I mean, this is one of the horrible things that was said to my kids over in that other area was, especially my son, school shooter. That's a stereotypical white person thing, apparently, and it makes sense if you think about who the school shooters are. And I'm not saying. Again, I'm not trying to talk bad about white people here. mm-hmm. I'm just saying that was one of the stereotypes that was thrown toward my kid, just because he was white. and the reason I'm bringing that up is because that's an example of one particular type of crime that is typically white people. Most serial killers are white people. You know, there's a lot of issues that we. Yeah, I gotta shut up. All right, moving on. I don't know where I just went there. I just went off topic. I mean, I was still on topic, but anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, and people are making this point in the chat too. You know, there's like not all cops are bad, not all men are bad, not all, you know, all these things. And it's, you know, it's okay to be white, like these kinds of things. Yeah, there's the difference between, I would say police officers, you know, and then you have sociopaths who get into yeah. being a police officer. Mm-hmm. There's a difference, and there are lots of wonderful police out there. There's been tons of videos on social media showing police officers who obviously care. They're out there, they're making connections with protesters. They're supporting them. Yeah. They're not for this. It makes them look bad too.
Right.
They're like, we're not, hey man, you know, we're not out there trying to terrorize people or to murder people, you know,
right.
You know, it's horrible, and there's just rotten apples in every bunch, but we
That's
need to
truth.
Take it seriously and get them out of there, get them out of those professions. There really needs to be more accountability. And, I hope
I know that. Yeah, I agree. I know they do psychological testing for police. And I think in some areas they do IQ testing, although they aren't looking.
Yeah,
for
they
this.
Do actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My understanding is they're not looking for the highest IQs, but also not the lowest, yeah. you know. But yeah, can I just really quickly touch on something that I see in the chat here?
Sure.
So Craig, who is the one that has KKK members in his family, says he's also part Jewish and German and Irish, but the Jewish part let's talk about that. So obviously that's from the other side of the family, I guess, because my understanding is that the KKK does not like us, the Jewish people. I'm surprised. I think that must be part very, very, very difficult to live in a family like that. And I'm pretty sure I would not. Oh, my God. Just Be Real says, I had a noose hung on my porch when my children were younger. I have three sons. Wow. I'm so sorry. That is, it makes me sick and it infuriates me for you. You know what was something that I saw that I actually, yeah, Slime Doll says classism, racism, sexism, it all plays a part. That's right. But something that I saw that I actually thought was really positive and that I would have participated in had I been present was there was, and I saw this during Ferguson as well. And I lived only about 15 minutes from where everything happened in Ferguson at the time. Anyway, I saw a group of white people stand in front of the black protesters between the police and the protesters. And I liked that because I thought, you know, that's how you should use your white privilege. You know, I mean, it is. And you know, because first of all, I don't think that the police were necessarily trying to shoot anyone in that moment. But secondly, if I think that shows, it's a show of solidarity as a people in general, you know, humans standing together. And I thought, I don't know, I liked that. I thought that was those people were saying, this isn't okay with us and we're going to protect, you know, our fellow Americans here. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's been a lot of attention, not enough attention really, but a lot of attention given to the peaceful protests and just kind of the power that's come from a lot of the beauty of a lot of these protests. And, you know, hopefully things will start to change. I think there's enough people out there that are just tired of it. You know, black, white, male, female, that are like, you know what, just this needs to end. And as a society, like, we're all in this together as a society. And if we're ever going to advance, we need to get this stuff ironed out. This is the year 2020. Come on, people. Like, let's get it together. This is ridiculous that we're even still dealing with this.
Yeah. You know? And let me say something really quickly. Just, I read somewhere where, because I've been, since Ferguson happened, especially, I've always been, you know, part of being, I've always been open to communicating and I've never been racist. I wasn't raised that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I never, like I said, I just recently kind of got it on a deeper level. But since the Ferguson thing happened, I've been really reading a lot of, like, I want to know, what can I do as a white looking person to help? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can I be part of the solution and not the problem? And this is part of what we're doing here, because, but one of the things that I saw was it offends a lot of people that we're like, exactly what, and I said the same thing 3 or 4 days ago. I said, I can't believe this is still happening in 2020. And they're like, this has been happening. And why are you shocked? You know? And I am shocked, and I can't lie. I can't say it doesn't shock me. But I also, I hope I'm helping more than hurting by talking about it. And I, you know, anyway, something in chat here that caught my eye from Lori Ann, who says ACAB, which is all cops are bad, is not a personal attack on the human personal traits. It's an attack on the systematic power that attracts people like Derek Chauvin, who is the officer who murdered George Floyd, to the profession. And that does make sense to me. That's something I wasn't fully understanding. I've seen people using the hashtag and I didn't even know what it meant. I didn't use the hashtag because I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't have time or didn't think about looking it up. And my son, the 16-year-old, is the one who told me this is what it means. And I was like, oh my God, well, I don't. And I said, I don't think that's true, but I guess what she's saying makes sense to me. And that's why people are saying it. It's not about each individual person. It's about the institution. And that actually, I'm with that is the problem, like you were talking about, like we talked about earlier. Yeah
I mean, I think you have a lot of people that are libertarian that you know, or kind of more along the lines of like anarcho capitalists, or kind of, you know, different sects of political beliefs that, you know, they're not for being policed at all. Like, they're not for government control. And maybe it would be great to just have some sort of discussion or an open forum where we could, as a society, discuss, okay, like, what are, like, these are the issues, you know, that are going on. What are everybody's ideas on how to address these? Like, let's just be open to possibility. And what is doable? Like, what can we actually implement that's not so, you know, extreme, and or that would take decades?
Exactly.
To do.
That's
like, what are these like 1% changes that we can make that can implement and impact positive change faster?
Right.
You know,
I wonder if there's some kind of like, because, you know, I've done, and I know you have too, a lot of research about different types of neurology and different parts of the brains. And, you know, the fact is that a liar can lie, but I wonder if they can hide things in their brain. Like, could they do some kind of brain scan and like put images in front of them or something of different people and see how their brains react? I don't know. There's got to be something they can do. Nicole Angelina says you don't have to be racist to benefit from white privilege. And she's right. And that's exactly what I was trying to say before, and I think what you've said too, because it's not something we choose. It's not something any of us choose. It's just something that is, you know, but it shouldn't be. People should see people as individuals. And you know what, I'll tell you something, growing up, raising my kids where I raised my kids, mostly, I still have, you know, a little bit more raising to do, but and growing up where I grew up in a different town, but what I know is my kids learned more Black history, more accurate Black history than I did. They taught me a lot of things. That's not what I was trying to talk about. What I was trying to talk about is this. I knew plenty of jerks in that community and plenty of amazing people. And just like in the white community, plenty of jerks, plenty of amazing people. Like, it's not, what I'm saying is there's, like you've mentioned, there's bad apples in every bunch or whatever, but it's not, but you can't, you can never look at a person based on the way they dress or the way their hair is or what color their skin is or anything and know that's a good person or a bad person. You know, I met people who were, you know, covered. What? A police chief. I just got a notification from Reddit who says, police chief says he doesn't believe racism plays a role in the NYPD. I don't really know about that. But anyway, I don't think that's true. but I don't know about the NYPD. I can't talk about them. But anyway, sorry, I just got distracted again. My point is that I know people who are covered in tattoos and have all the crazy hair and all the whatever, and they're amazing, awesome people. And then I know people who, you know, have a, you know, some kind of like corporate job or some kind of big, you know, high paying job, and they wear suits and they look nice all the time, or look, you know, what society mm-hmm. would call acceptable, and they're the worst people I've ever met. So I don't really know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how we're ever going to stop people from assuming things about a person's appearance, but I think that color or race should not be one of the factors that we just assume. Does that make any sense? What I'm trying to say?
Well, you know, I think we all have unexamined hidden biases about what we think across the board, people that we think are trustworthy or untrustworthy, or that are safe or that are dangerous, and based off of religion and height and skin color, nationality, mm-hmm. Profession, income level, education level, you name it. We all have these ideas of what is safe and what is dangerous. And in order for a person to, I think, effectively kind of enforce laws, they need to have all of their biases brought to the surface and challenged, not just kind of suppressed and like, oh, no, I'm fine. I think most people are uncomfortable with the idea that they could possibly be racist or let's just soften that even a little bit more, that they could have biases.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people, we kind of want to go around thinking that we're a good, decent person, and it can be really disturbing to us to realize, oh my gosh, I did not realize that I had this bias.
Right.
You know, there was a study that was done a while ago just with names on resumes. And they found that the resumes that had kind of unusual names.
Yeah. Oh, I know all about this study.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Go on.
You know,
basically black sounding names.
Black sounding or I think just non-white sounding.
Well, that's what it is.
Right?
Yeah.
So it just kind of, you know, any name that's not kind of along the lines of, you know, John or Susan, and those resumes weren't looked at.
I have a story about that for you. Would you like to hear it? Sure. I read that study. And at the time, one of my friends whose first name was Entrell, was having a hard time getting a job. And he was over at my house complaining about it. I was looking at his resume, trying to help him fix it and everything. And I looked at him and I said, you know, there's this study. This was about, it was right after that study came out, probably 6 years ago, something like that. And, or it was not right after, but right after I learned, or soon after I learned about the study, I guess. Anyway, I told him about this study and I said, what's your middle name? He said, Charles. I said, okay. So I changed his resume to read A. Charles and then his last name instead of Entrell. And do you know that he got a job almost immediately? That's what happened. And so it's true. And he wasn't even like trying to go for a corporate job. It was like a entry level basic job. And to see that, you know, in action, I was angry for him. I was glad I was able to help him, but I was very angry for him that, and for a lot of people, because again, there's a rich history behind why African Americans sometimes don't use white names for their children. and I've learned about that, and I'm not going to go in, I'm not going to tell her, you know, talk about it right now, but it's, there's a reason they do that. And I understand. And again, but here you see the bias. And in this case, it was even, ironically, it was a black manager hiring this person. So it wasn't even necessarily a racism issue. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it was, but when he finally did get the job, it was a black manager who ended up hiring him. But it was just ironic that he almost immediately, as soon as we changed it from Entrell to Charles, he got that job.
Well, anyway. I mean, this goes back to like, we all have biases and there can be that level of like internalized racism or internalized misogyny or misandry or what have you, where it doesn't take a lot. Like if a person has a really bad experience with a certain type of, you know, a certain person of a certain nationality, religion,
right,
you name it, and that's in their brain, and that's going to skew, they're going to filter everything that they see through that lens, and they're not even going to realize that they're doing it. So we all have this understanding of the way the world works and what's safe and what is problematic. And it's just good to just realize that we all have this and to question it. And if it does surface and we're like, wow, we're caught off guard by that, it's worth examining and just being honest about it. But it, like I said, it can be difficult to be honest with ourselves, to be like, wow, okay, yeah, I need I need to get real with myself and examine what are my beliefs around this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm with you 100%. Something I want to pull out of the chat too. Simdahl said, I believe most police officers, or she said cops, are narcissists. They beat their wives a lot too. And I'll say this, I can't say that for sure, but I can say this. I have had several clients who were wives of police officers. And there's a certain percentage of them. I don't think all of them are, but I do think they're, it is a profession that attracts that type of person. But I know people who are decent people who have been police officers and aren't like that. So, but I also understand what we talked about earlier with the ACAB thing, with it being about the institution and not the individual. So throwing that out. Sorry, go ahead. Did you have?
No, I agree with that.
Okay. I do have something else. Copper Penny Mine says, it's okay to be white. And yes, it is. And I was not apologizing for being white ever, even though I did was accused of that for making the video about white privilege. I was never apologizing for it, but I was saying that white privilege exists, and it does. And that's all I'm going to say. Just because mm-hmm. it's okay to be white, and just because you have white privilege doesn't mean that you have no problems. I'm just reiterating for anybody who's new around here. Mm-hmm. It means that your problems aren't compounded by your skin color. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your problems aren't compounded by your skin color.
Yeah.
Like that's just something that's, that you really do in the vast majority of the time, you don't have to worry about that. It's just a non-issue. And so I think that's why it's so difficult for white people to understand that, because it's just a non-issue. It's, and sort of like the whole saying, the last thing a fish notices is the water.
Yeah.
Like it's just the way it's always been. So you don't realize that it's a thing until you come across, you realize other people are concerned about things that you're not. I mean, same thing, the difference with men and women, you know? It's not bad or good. It doesn't make, it just is. And to be aware of it, you know?
Right. And something else I want to say is, oh my goodness. Okay. This person in the chat is not showing, so it's fine. Something else I want to say, and I want to clarify, is again, I have watched my children be discriminated against because they were white, because we were in, they grew up in an all black community or mostly black community. But I'm still standing here saying that there's white privilege because it's systematic. It's not just individuals. And those kids that were mean to my kids for that reason, they were wrong. But also I kind of understand. And that's messed up. They were never hurt or anything like that physically. But they were taunted and made fun of and everything else. But the thing is, at that time, I think that my children to those kids represented the bad people. And I hate that, but it is what it is. It doesn't mean that my children were, they were not systematically, you know, again, in that same community, we weren't in fear for our lives from the police or from the institution and not in fear for our lives from the people either. Just they got made fun of a little bit at school and, you know, put sort of excluded from certain things because of their color. But at the same time, I'm going to tell you right now, whenever they'd have like Black History Night at school, which they did, you know, each year, my kids were up there on the stage performing with the rest of them and singing all the songs and knowing all the things. And I was really proud of that because they learned things different than I learned and taught me. I already said a lot of things. Here's something from Darlene Kane. She says, I'm not racist, but I benefited from white privilege a few years ago when someone vandalized every non-white in our townhouse complex. I wasn't vandalized because I am white. See, and that's, and as someone else mentioned, you don't have to be a racist to benefit. And she's right. And that's a, right there, a valid point.
And yeah, I mean, like white privilege is just more, it's like you're saying, you're not, your problems aren't compounded by your skin color. Bam. For white people, it's going to just, people aren't going to look twice at you if you're walking in a neighborhood at night. You're not worried about running a package over to your neighbor's house that they're going to be stealing something off the porch or that you're up to no good.
If your kid goes for a walk to buy a pack of Skittles at the store, you don't have to worry that he's going to get shot on the way home because he's also wearing a hoodie, for example.
Right. That you're going to be followed in a car by heckled by police or, you know, just
you don't get pulled over for driving while white, you know? Yeah, totally. I'm with you, Dana.
You know, it's easier to get at least calls back for a job based on like the whole name thing. And I think culture is changing, you know, for so long, there wasn't a positive or real current representation of kind of the Black experience.
Right.
You know, and we saw this a little bit in what was like the 80s and 90s. You had show like The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bill Cosby turned out to be a terrible human being, but that show was so fantastic because it showed, you know, that here's this upper middle class, upper class Black family.
Right.
You know, that they're educated, that they're married, that it's a positive representation of just kind of expanding the understanding of what is the Black experience. So for so many white people, all they have to go off of is kind of what they see on the news and stereotypes.
Right. Go ahead.
It's becoming, you know, and then for a while there, it was like the 90s. It still was very separate. You had channels like BET, you know, Black Entertainment Television, mm-hmm. and then kind of white channels. And there wasn't a lot of crossover. Right. And so now you're seeing it a lot more. You're seeing people of color in commercials and in movies and playing the good guys and playing more positive roles where it's like, okay, we're all just different shades. We're all people.
Right.
You know,
right.
At the core.
We all, yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, and yeah. So I don't know. We still have a long way to go, but.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, this is something I want to address from the chat here is Peggy says no one should internalize shame because of their skin color. And I agree with that. No one should worry about anything because of their skin color, but people have to. And that's the problem, you know, and I think she's implying, you know, and I don't know what she's implying, but I know someone whose comment was hidden said something that was just I don't even, so this person, it's the same person that said, okay, I'm just not even going to read it. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Okay. We're moving on.
There was a guy and I don't remember his name. He basically dedicated his life and I don't remember kind of what sparked this in him, but he was an older Black man and, would go around and basically had a kind of this open attitude to any open invitation, I should say, to any KKK members or people that had issues with Black people. Like, hey, let's sit down. Okay, let's talk about it. Let's sit down. Let's have lunch and let's talk about it. And the change that was able to happen, because it's one thing, I think it's a lot more difficult to hate somebody once you get to know them and once you have a positive experience with, if a person just hates one group of people, it's because you've probably never had a positive experience with this group. And then once you realize, oh, maybe it's not all that way, it begins to change your worldview. And so these meetings, It was really heartwarming that he was able to keep his cool and, you know, just have these conversations and that the outcome was so positive.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I think, you know, I think part of the thing, I used to be afraid to talk about this publicly. But I think that, you know, like I would have never stood up on YouTube and talked about what I did recently, but I was so... Yeah. Anyway, I think it's really positive that he did that because opening up the discussion, it that's what we should be doing. We should be coming together. And I'm pretty impressed that he was that brave. I think that was a brave thing for him to do. And I think we should all step up and be that brave and talk about it. Because the truth is, you know, I was afraid to talk about it because I didn't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or upset anyone. But I felt like the person in my timeline who said, one of my Facebook friends who was like, I see this people not talking about it. I was talking about it just quietly to my my Facebook mm-hmm. people on my personal, you know, personal page. But I felt like I needed to, I'm glad that we're talking about it now. And I feel, yeah, I feel like that's important. I was just thinking when you were talking about that, I was thinking about when I was in college, one of my friends, my freshman year that I first met my freshman year, she was a couple years older than me. Her name was Noreen and she was a Black woman, a beautiful Black woman. And she actually told me, like, I can't remember how we became friends. I don't, I don't recall how we even met actually, but we were going to the same college. And I remember her saying to me, "You're my first white friend." And I thought, what? I didn't even know what to think about that. But she's like, she sadly, well, she grew up in East St. Louis. And if you're not from around here, you might not know that East St. Louis is kind of a dangerous area, but her mother worked really hard and sent her to private school. And so she, in her neighborhood, had black friends, of course, but at school, she was kind of on her own and didn't end up with a whole bunch of white friends, even though she was just one of just a handful of black kids at her school. And she said they were all mean to her and horrible to her. And she didn't even think white people could be nice people. And then she and I just became really, really fast friends somehow. And we just had some, I don't know what it was, some kind of a soul connection or something. And anyway, and she told me that I was her first white friend and that I changed her opinion of white people on some level. And I thought that was shocking. But I guess my thing is just what you said, being, you know, having that ability to have this conversation and to talk about it. It's hard for some white people. It's hard for me. It was hard for me until I just did it, you know, until I just started talking. And I think that now I've had the conversation with individuals. A lot of times we've talked about this kind of stuff with individual black people and groups of my friends and stuff. But I've never been bold enough to talk about it publicly until recently. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I guess I was trying to ask more people to do that, black and white people, to come together and say, hey, let's talk about it. Let's be open and have, like you were saying, Dana, like a two-way or a bazillion way conversation. And what can we do? How can we work together to end systematic racism? And I would say racism in general, but at mm-hmm. least systematic racism to start. I would like to see everybody knowing that everybody is equal. We may not all be the same. We may have slightly different cultures, but look, here's an example of that. You know, if you go to Texas and New York and LA, like you have three completely different cultures, just, even in the high society people, like, you know, in Texas, they might have bigger hair, you know, and I'm not going to go and tell them what they might be, but my point is that even people who you would think would be the same, like rich white people, for example, mm-hmm. in Texas, in California, in LA, there are three completely different groups of people who may not even mesh well together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so culture is one thing, and that's just one example, but I'm just saying, but that doesn't make them any less, like different cultures shouldn't make us less or more valuable is my point. And as Americans, like I was saying to one of my friends a couple of years ago, Jerron, I said, you know what, if we went to Africa together, he's black. If we went to Africa together, you and I would have more in common than you might have in common sometimes with people that are still, you know, they're living in Africa. Or if we went to, you know, Ireland together or like Russia, you and I would have more in common than some people living there. We live in the same neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? We mm-hmm. hang out together. We know each other. We understand each other. And so like so we should recognize that as well, is what I'm trying to say, that connection, that while, you know, or we might have different types of Thanksgiving dinners. We might, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying, we have mm-hmm. things in common. We have things that are different. We're equal, but different is what I'm trying to say. It's okay to be different, but that doesn't mean you're not equal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. And Wonder Doggy here makes a comment, says, well, do we have any proof that this was racially motivated? And I guess the way I look at it is there's two issues that George Floyd's death brings up. The first one is that the gross injustice of sudden sentencing for police, for police, unnecessary police brutality, mm-hmm. and, you know, just not getting the appropriate sentences. So there's issues right there with, you know, accountability for police. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue is that oftentimes when there is a person of color, that's, you have a white police officer, or not even, you have a white person commit a crime against a person of color, that white person their sentences are significantly more lenient than had the colors been reversed.
And that shouldn't be.
And that shouldn't be. And it's an issue that needs to be addressed. And this happens time and time and time and time again in the court system. It's unfortunately, justice is not blind when it comes to these things. And whether it's intentional racism or not, like that could be debated. But maybe at a minimum, the judge should just turn their chair around.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
And in certain cases like that, or the jury should turn their chair. Because I know that there's so much psychology behind jury selection and having to work. You take race out of the equation, take color out of the equation. Even when you've got let's say you have a person on trial who committed murder let's just say murder. We all have these ideas of what a murderer looks like, right? And if that person doesn't fit the bias that we have, then this is how this is a big problem with our justice system. Is people are like, they have a hard time understanding that women can be killers, or that an old person, you know, could be a killer, or that a young person could be a killer, or
an attractive person,
an attractive person, or an educated person, or any one of these things, a family member, or you name it.
Yeah.
So we all, like I said, we all have these biases, and it's unfortunate that it really gets brought to the surface when justice is involved.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the one time that we really need for these biases to not be involved.
Yep.
And to just look at the behavior and not anything else. Look at the behavior, look at the facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I see this comment in chat here where we kind of already touched on it. Moose Girl said all four officers are complicit. And Willis said arresting all four will stop the protest. Absolutely. They're all guilty, says LaTanya. And I agree with that. We already talked about that. I just wanted to bring that out again because I hadn't seen that part about the protest.
There was a thing too on... I think it was Reddit the other day. People were showing different clips of protests around the country. And there was another police officer who had put his knee on somebody's neck. And this other officer next. So that
moved
must
the knee.
Moved his knee. And so that must be pretty standard in training. I could see why somebody would put their knee on somebody's neck because they can't get up, right? Versus you're going to be, it's trying to kind of ride a bucking bronco if you're putting your knee on their back or anything else, because they can still, you know, if they're bigger or stronger or full of adrenaline, can still move around. But it's just, that's not good standard operating procedures to put any weight on another person's neck for obvious reasons. But I loved how smooth and seamless that was. When this other officer saw it, didn't even think about it. It was like, dude, what, you know, like you can't. It's just common sense. Like, you can't do this. And the other officer both of them didn't bat an eye. It was sort of like, okay, you have this person restrained, get your knee off of them. And the other person, you know, just, it was became a very quickly a non-issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they should have done. I don't understand. Like, wasn't there like the one officer that I saw in the video, the original video, was Asian, appeared to be Asian. The one that wasn't on I just saw the two in the original video. And there were two others, and I think one of them was Hispanic. Is that correct? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. But I'm only bringing that up because I saw something in the chat that made me think of it. But I don't think it's relevant because in any case, whatever was going on, nobody stopped him, and they could have. He wasn't going to spray the fellow officers with mace. I mean, and the other two officers were on him as well. From what I saw, they were on his body as well. So, or holding him down at least. Wait a minute. Nicole Angelina says, I don't understand why people don't get it. This country has laws, healthcare, education, and even movies that promote white privilege. And she's right. You know, she's right. It's not something that I, as an American, am proud of, or I don't think it's okay. she's right. And Jess Morris says, yeah, they get it. They're just ignoring it. Yeah. And I'm not ignoring it. I want you to know. And Dana's not ignoring it. And other people are not ignoring it. That's part of why I'm talking about it and why I think you're talking about it. Right, Dana?
Yeah. Well, I think with injustice in general, right, if there's that inequality, whatever, whichever way that might go, white, black, black, white, male, female, female, male, if we're ever going to get to more of a true level of equality in this country, we need to have these uncomfortable conversations and be willing to be like, okay, let's just look at like what is unequal here, unequal. Mm-hmm. You know, what is unequal? What needs to be addressed? What are some ideas about how we can go about addressing these things? And then just start making these subtle, you know, 1-2% changes.
Yeah.
And then watching, okay, what are the consequences of the changes that we've made? Because there's always going to be unintended consequences too that can sometimes be even more negative than the change. And then just continuing to adjust to where we get to where we want to be as a country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, start, if you are a white person and you're not sure how to talk about it, or you're not sure what you can do to help, do your research, ask people that you know, or, and if you don't know people, literally Google, how can I as a white person help, you know, help the systematic racism end, or help Black Lives Matter, or help whatever. And I heard a really good thing. It was a story from the Bible, and I won't go into any particular religious thing, but here's what it comes down to, is that there were all like 100 sheep, and one of the sheep got away, and the sheep herder left all the other sheep and went to find that one sheep, and that one sheep got saved, and all the other sheep were like, what's up, how come we, and I might be telling it wrong, but it's the basic idea, how come you didn't care about us and you went after that one, and they were like, because that one was in danger. And this is the same thing with Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter, is that, yes, we know All Lives Matter. We're not saying that they don't matter. What we're saying is, right now, Black Lives Matter, and we need to focus on that, because that's, you know, these are the people in danger from our institution, from our government. Not, I don't know if government is the right word, but the system, the institution, maybe it is a government, whatever. My point is, that's why, and I fully, you know, I admit sadly that it took me a minute to get there and understand it fully. Like I was always with it, but I didn't fully, I thought I did understand before, but I didn't understand before. And now I fully understand, I think. And that's why I'm talking to you. But Diana Prince says she has a coworker who doesn't believe things that happen to Black people with cops aren't because of skin color. She's white, and being Black is not her reality. So basically what she's saying is it's not because of their skin color, it's because what this coworker thinks is that's some other thing. And look, I want to believe that too, but it's not true. And I see that now, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We all want to believe that we live in a good world and that our society is okay, and that things don't happen that are unfair. And, you know, and we all, you know, and as someone who grew up in a bad situation of my own, not related to my skin color, I can say this. I had people commenting and being upset that horrible things happened to them as children, and therefore they had no white privilege. But as you were saying earlier, Dana, maybe privilege isn't the right word, but it kind of is in a way. But they don't understand what they mean by privilege here. You know, it's what happened to those people wasn't because of their skin color, and it wasn't necessarily the institution that caused it, or the, you know, the system. Maybe the system failed them, but it wasn't because of their skin color. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that what happened is okay. I'm not saying that what happened to me is okay as a kid. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't because of my skin color. It wasn't compounded and made worse because of my, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here, Darlene says she was discriminated against once as a white kid in a Black community too, but that was just once. Minorities deal with it all their lives. And that's also true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Amber says it's a hard subject for all of us, because I was talking about how it's hard to talk about racism for a lot of white people. And that's the truth. It's not just white people. It's hard for everybody. But I think what it comes down to, and for me, was I very much respect African-Americans, everybody, people in general, y'all are my people. But I didn't want to talk about it publicly because I didn't want to upset anyone or make anyone think that I was, you know, like say the wrong thing, because we can say the wrong thing. And we can say something that makes us sound dumb or uneducated or makes us sound like we don't, you know, we aren't really with everybody. You know what I mean? But it's being transparent and being open and being able to say what it's that we, like you said, Dana, we have to be ready to be uncomfortable. And just to bring this back around to narcissism and narcissistic abuse, as we're going through the healing process as individuals, the hardest part is when we have to get uncomfortable, because now we have to pull away from things that we've always known to be true, or we have to speak up for ourselves in ways we never have. And sometimes that means physically removing ourselves. And that's very uncomfortable, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. coming back around. But my point is, I get the uncomfortable and it's hard, but I can tell you this much, it becomes less hard the more you're willing to be open and honest. And when it comes to the current situation, this is separate from the narcissistic abuse thing, but I was just bringing this back around because of the uncomfortable factor connecting those two things. It is hard in any situation. Sorry, Dana, you got something?
Yeah, truth seeker saying, you know, someone will always be upset no matter what you say. We have to talk. And mm-hmm. when, you know, there's certain conversations that are so important and yet they're so taboo and they are uncomfortable talking about race, any ism, yeah. racism, sexism, you know, you name it. It's
anti-Semitism.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. There's a lot of eggshells that are there, and it's people have very raw emotions when it comes to all of this. And even people that are well-intended, they're like, I don't want to strike a nerve with someone.
Exactly.
Well, the reality is like, if we're going to have this conversation the way that it needs to be had, mm-hmm. all any of us can do is the best we can do, and to come in with good intentions. And we can't, avoiding conversations because we're concerned about offending people or what have you isn't getting anywhere.
Right.
And yeah, as a country, you know, that really just kind of needs an overhaul. And Wonder Dog was saying too, in situations like this with George Floyd, we should ask ourselves, would we have the same reaction if the victim was white or Asian or Indian or Arabic? And I agree. I think that's a good way to kind of cross check to see if our anger is appropriately placed. And I would say that it is. It's an issue whenever you have especially a police officer, suffocating
murder
a person
somebody in the street.
Yeah, murdering yeah. somebody and doesn't see any issue with it and has that
right.
smug look of indifference and is able to basically get away with it. And thankfully, you know, there's going to be consequences for him, but this shouldn't even be a non-issue. And the fact that it was, I think that was part of the outrage, is that it was gearing up to be a non-issue.
Yeah.
Where he, you know,
anyone who saw any part of that and wasn't infuriated and moved to take some action is not, something's wrong with them. I know that sounds really judgmental, but my God,
I agree.
Can't, you know,
I don't see how you can look at that and justify that.
There's just no way.
There's no way. I mean, the only defense a person could have would be that of ignorance of, oh, I didn't know putting my knee on their neck would cause them to die. But
everybody was standing there telling you, that person is dying.
You well, know and not only that, but police have first aid CPR training, and they
exactly.
know. Exactly. I know this because I used to teach first aid CPR. So that's one of the things that you really hammer home about when you're doing this, about taking a pulse periodically and about not applying pressure to somebody's neck.
Right. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. So.
And I think anybody with any amount of, I mean, even the, like you said, even basic CPR training should, and even like, I don't know, anybody who's ever like had a kid or anybody who's ever, everybody knows that like choking a person could kill a person. And how could you think that putting 150 pounds on a person's neck is not going to kill that person for that? What was it? Almost 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Almost 10 minutes that we saw. Yeah.
I will say one of the cool things as far as like protests that I saw was Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. went off the air. So they had this ongoing ad, not really ad, but message, I guess, that they were repeating. So I guess it took, it was 8 minutes and 46 seconds for George Floyd to pass. And so Nickelodeon, this children's channel, had this message that repeated basically the rights of children, especially. Wow. You know, and it was such a beautiful thing. Like, you have the right to be safe. You have the right to be heard. You have the right to your thoughts and your feelings, even if they differ from other people's. And it was just such a beautiful thing. And for Nickelodeon, for a children's channel to do that, I just thought, boy, you know what? This is the kind of change that we need to see. Like, I worry that all of this, there's so much power in anger. There's so much energy in anger. And it's real easy to waste that or to let it get diffused. You know, people riot, they let it all out, and then it's the sense of relief. But I think we have to use that anger and channel that energy into something positive that mm-hmm. continues on. And it's that's what gives so much power, I think, you know, to the protests and to this change, is things like what Nickelodeon was doing of informing and educating children.
Yes.
You know, it's not okay for you to be abused or, you know, to be mistreated like this, and you deserve to be safe. And
that's right.
That kind of educational thing that I hope that they keep going with, because that's the kind of messages that need to be out there across the board.
Well, I will tell you this. Back in the day, I watched a whole bunch of that channel with my kids. And yeah, well, as a kid too, but also with my kids. And I have seen a lot of really positive messaging come through, like Nick Jr. and Noggin and all that stuff too. I got a little teary when you started talking about safety, because that's the thing. That's the thing. And once again, I'm going to come back around to narcissistic abuse really quick. Safety is a basic human need, to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And when people don't feel safe, literally it changes their brains. It changes the way their bodies function. They get physically sick. You know, you were a psychiatric nurse. You already know. And so, yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of things in the chat here. Like Joyce says, my kids and I have been discriminated and threatened in a Hispanic area of the South where we were the minority. And then I saw people talking about Native Americans. And let's say I'm half Jewish. So we're not even talking about that right now, but there were some things that happened to the Jews. And still some people that are hating on the Jews. But the fact of the matter is, most of us, you know, you walk down the street and you can't necessarily look at a person and assume anything, especially when we're half. But even when we're not, you can't always tell. And that it's, again, horrible things happened, and horrible things are happening to Native Americans, and horrible things have happened to so many different races. And I'm not trying to exclude anybody here, but right now, at this time, this is what I'm talking about, because this is what we're dealing with. I don't think it's okay for any race to be abused, or you know, with Jewish people, 2/3 of our global population was literally gone after the Holocaust. And that's just the most, you know, but I'm not talking about that. That's not what this is right here. My point is, no amount of racism is okay. No amount of genocide is okay. No amount of killing people because of who they are, who they were born. You can't, you know, what you are, you can't change. It is what it is. And so it's not about, I'm not here to talk about this is about what is going on in our society right now. And again, I'm not minimizing anything else, because none of it's acceptable. And I would stand beside the Native Americans. I would stand beside, you know, one of my mentors is Muslim, an African-American Muslim woman. And I can imagine that she has enough, you know, three different things. She's female, Muslim, and African-American in this country. And my God, you know, but she's the most light-filled, beautiful, amazing person. And there's just, I don't know how anybody can assume anything about anyone based on those factors. But mm-hmm. yeah, so I just wanted to say that no matter what, I don't ever think that race, that judging a person or abusing a person or hurting a person in any way, systematically or otherwise, is okay, individually either. But right now, what we're trying to do, I think, as a country, or what we should be trying to do, let me say that, let me make that more clear. What we should be focused on is not allowing the system to abuse people of color, period. And I'm saying Black people because this is what is in my face right now, and what a majority of what I'm hearing is and what I'm seeing. But I don't think it's okay for anyone to hurt anyone, but especially not for the system to endorse and justify this of, and regardless of the race, I would stand up and I would say the same thing. So that's all.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that kind of goes with what we do for a living. You know, our whole thing is, I think I speak for both of us, it's the foundation of dignity and respect, you know, and across the board. It's a basic human right. I don't think that it's too much to ask, and at least it shouldn't be too much to ask.
It shouldn't. Right. Now, wait a minute. Nicole says, you should be afraid to talk about this because people lose their minds when their white privilege is challenged. And she's right. And she's not telling me I should be afraid, but what she's saying is it makes sense that I was afraid, because she's right. I did not get one negative comment that I saw from any African-American or person of color. But what I did get was a whole bunch of negativity from white people. Not all white people. I had plenty of white people on board with me when I made the video that I was talking about. And Nicole Angelina was in there in the comments, you know, being very proactive and supportive. And thank you for that. But she said, and what she said is true. And it was not African-American people or people of color in general. It was pretty much white people who were like, white privilege isn't real. It doesn't exist, but it does. And yeah, so I wanted to say that. Go ahead, Dana.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, well, we are over.
Oh, we sure are. My goodness. I'm sorry, Dana.
Yes. No, that's okay. This was an interesting conversation, and yes, I'm glad that we had it.
Yeah. I want to say something to our audience really quick. Mm-hmm. Thank you for keeping it civil. I only saw a couple of negative comments, and I could see the two thumbs down probably from those people. Mm-hmm. But the negative comments I saw were mostly caught by YouTube, and I just let them stay caught mostly because I'm not trying to, I'm trying to lift up people, not shove people down with negativity.
Yeah.
So
I would encourage you guys too, that are here in the chat or that are watching this video later, you know, please realize that these videos, you know, YouTube really kind of does stifle them. So please like this video and share it. And so Angie really went out on a limb with wanting to talk about this today. So,
and so did Dana, by the way. Let me help.
Well, thanks. But I mean, it's your channel, and you know, kind of just realizing that, you know, YouTube is not gonna help promote it. It'll probably be demonetized.
And that's okay. I didn't monetize the one I did the other day. I didn't even monetize because we're not here to try to make money. This is not what this is for us.
Right.
And you know, so I mean, Dana wouldn't make money even if I did on this one, but she would if we did this on her channel if she wanted to. But I don't even care about the monetization. But she's right; they suppress this. And so, if you want to help, definitely share it out and understand it won't make me any money, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people think with certain topics, like, oh, well, they're just talking about it because it's popular or it's
deep. And that's not.
And it's like, that's not the case at all on YouTube. And I just want people to realize, you know, that this video, we went into it realizing, you know, it's not going to be monetized. We're probably going to get a lot of backlash for it. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about it because it's, you know,
it's not a trending topic we're trying to get attention for.
Right.
It's not about that. And that's the reason that I was like, let's talk. And Dana actually wanted to talk about it too. It wasn't just my idea. But the reason that we decided to talk about it is because it needs to be talked about. And so we have this platform, and so this is what we're trying to use our platform for for good, which we always do. I think both of us try to use our platform for good, but we do it in a very specific niche usually. And this is different than that niche, and this is not, but it needs to be talked about. And so we, as a whole bunch of empaths, we can do this together, and maybe we can listen. I saw a couple of people. Here's a positive last comment I'm going to say, and then we'll get out of here. I saw a couple of white people commented, say to me, "I didn't understand before I watched that video, and now I get it." And if just only those two got a clue and changed the way that they were seeing it, that's enough. But I would love to see more people understand on that, on a new level, and feel moved to take action and help. And that's what I've felt and what I feel now. And I think Dana would, I mean, Dana, maybe you got it way before I did. I didn't fully get it, like I said, but I appreciate you being brave with me and standing here with me today and being part of this too. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully these kind of conversations will continue to happen, and we'll be able to move forward, you know?
Yes.
As a country, and can see each other as, you know,
equal.
As, yeah, Nicole was saying, you know, there's only one race, it's the human race.
That's right.
And yeah, you know, that we can see each other as like traveling companions through this journey called life.
Yes.
And instead of, so focused on, I don't know.
Embrace the differences instead of spitting on them. Be okay with who you are and who they are and who we all are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, everybody.
Okay, well,
we're gonna
go ahead.
We're gonna wrap up, and as always, thank you so much for being here. If you want to join us for our live chats, normally we do talk about narcissistic abuse recovery and the topics surrounding that stuff. You can subscribe here on this channel and also over on Dana's channel, because we do alternate channels each week. You can hit the bell notification on each channel to be notified when we do go live. You can also text Angie Live, all one word, to 33222, and I send out text notifications when we go live as well. But just be warned, if I go live other times, I also send them out on that one. So if you don't want all of them, don't sign up for that. All right. Thanks again, Dana. I really appreciate you. And everybody here in the chat, you're amazing. And thank you for being part of a productive discussion and keeping it civil and clean and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angie. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. See you soon.
Okay, bye.